Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Verse 38. Matthew, chapter 27, verse 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. Verse 44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. That is, these two thieves were guilty of the insults, the mockeries, the expressions of hatred and disdain directed to Jesus. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. And to verse 32. Luke 23, 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I appreciated all of the music and the musicians who gave it. I appreciated the special number by the ladies about the three crosses. John Bunyan, you might remember, wrote about Pilgrim coming to the cross and his burden went rolling away. And we often sing, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way than this. I want us to think about Calvary tonight. And more specifically, I want us to think about the three trees or crosses that were put into place that day. Peter tells us in his first epistle, chapter 2, that the Lord Jesus Christ bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And that word that Peter uses is used a few times in the New Testament. It is one of two or three words that is translated in our English version, tree. And the word Peter uses there is zulon. X-U-L-O-N. Zulon. And it means a dead tree. Or anything pertaining to a dead tree. It could be referred to a piece of wood. We read of Paul and Silas being put into the inner prison and into stocks, zulon. And so this word is used for tree, a dead tree. And yet it is the tree from which comes everlasting life. That is interesting. There is another word in the New Testament that is translated tree, and the word is dendron, D-E-D-R-O-N, D-E-N-D-R-O-N, dendron. You know it as rhododendron, or rose tree. That means a living tree. But this word is zulon, a dead tree. But from this tree that we're thinking of tonight, the middle tree, comes everlasting life. So I want us to think about these three trees, and more specifically, the fruit that is born from these three trees. Now, any approach to Calvary is a sacred venture. We should take the shoes off our feet when attempting to approach Calvary, for the ground whereon we stand is holy ground indeed. Calvary is the focal point of prophecy. It is also the vantage point of the prophet. The one who plants his feet at Calvary has a deeper, truer, richer sense of spiritual value. On the day of Christ's crucifixion, three crosses, or three trees, were put into their places. Three men hanged on those three trees, and Jesus in the midst, as holding the position of preeminence in that scene of uttermost shame. But is not the Lord Jesus Christ always in the midst? Indeed he is. He was foreshadowed by the tree of life in the midst of the garden, Genesis chapter 3. He was in the midst of the burning bush when he called out to Moses, Exodus chapter 3. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into the white heat of the furnace, he beheld in the midst of the three one who was like the Son of God, Daniel chapter 3. He was sitting in the midst of the doctors or the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And did not the Lord say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, Matthew 18:20. And in the Revelation, he is in the midst of the elders and the throne. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And when he was upon the cross, numbered with these evildoers, he was in the midst. And how affecting to see him, the Lord of glory, by whom and for whom all things were created, the object of angelic worship, yes, more than that, the object of the Father's delight, led forth with the vile malefactors to be cruelly nailed to a tree. Who can picture the scene? The Holy One in the midst of wicked men hanging on the cross, shedding his blood. Possibly some of the travelers could testify that by the two crucified with Jesus, they had been robbed on the highways. And maybe some homeowners were very suspicious that these were the men who had ransacked their homes and maybe threatened their lives. These two evildoers, their minds once active in planning crimes, their hearts black with evil, possibly their hands stained with human blood, were crucified with Jesus as if to put some brand on Jesus, him being numbered with the transgressor, in the midst, as if he is the worst of the lot, in the midst, the place of preeminence, numbered with the transgressors. But why three crosses that day? Why three trees? Why not five? Why not more than that? Why not less than that? Why three? Mark tells us in his gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified with two others, that the scripture, Isaiah 53:12, might be fulfilled, which said, he was numbered with the transgressors. But why just two others? I believe these three crosses or these three trees portray to us the three types of death that have ever been experienced or will ever be experienced. And in saying that, I must follow quickly to say that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was unique. No one has died like Jesus, and no one will die like Jesus. His death was unique. But I believe these other two crosses picture to us the types of death, not the way in which they were put to death, but the types of death experienced by mankind. And by that I mean either saved or lost. We were hearing about going out of this life. The choir was singing, "I'm getting ready to leave this life." Well, friend, let me ask you, where are you going when you leave this life? As we read the New Testament scriptures, we read times over of only two classes of people. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And I believe these crosses or these trees convey to us the types of death that human beings will experience, saved or lost. I remember some years ago back in Greensboro, I received a call. I had been out visiting that day, a number of people. I'd been in two hospitals. And when I got in that afternoon or on into the evening, I received a call that a teenager had tried to take her life. And so I went to one hospital, Cone Hospital. And after seeing that girl, and she pulled through and she went on later to do well in her life. But while I was there, I knew that there were two people that I hadn't seen that day, or at least one I hadn't seen. And right before leaving the house, I got a second call about a person in Wesley Long Hospital. So I told Louise and the children, I said, well, I need to go see about this teenage girl who had tried to take her life. And I said, I need to check with Mabel Henderson, and I checked at Wesley Long Hospital with Mr. Brown. Mr. Brown did not come to Shannon Hills Chapel. I didn't know him. A sister from the meeting called saying that Mr. Brown was a neighbor, that he was dying. And when she called, I said, well, I'm getting ready to go to Cone Hospital now. Do you think it would be all right to visit Mr. Brown in the morning? Do you think he'll live through the night? She said, well, I don't know. So I decided to go see Mr. Brown at Wesley Long Hospital. I said I didn't know him, had never met him. When I got to the room, his son came to the door. I introduced myself. He seemed to be glad that I had come. And when I went in and stood by the bedside of Mr. Brown, I could see a man was not long for this world. In fact, I thought I was hearing the death rattle. So after introducing myself and letting him know that a neighbor had called and was very much concerned about him and were praying for him, the family was praying for him, I said, Mr. Brown, I'm going to read from the Bible. No, no, I said, no, I don't want to read from the Bible. I said, you don't want me to read from the Bible? No, no. Thank you. I said, well, all right, Mr. Brown, I said, I'll have prayer. No, I don't want you to pray. I said, you don't want me to pray? No. I said, okay, Mr. Brown, but we will be praying for you. Well, if you like. And so he didn't say anything about quoting a scripture. I wound up quoting a scripture. John 3:16. And I said, we'll be praying for you, Mr. Brown, and I left. Went on over to Cone Hospital to see the teenage girl who was doing okay at that time, and I thought of Mabel Henderson up on another floor that I hadn't seen that day because she was sleeping and I didn't want to disturb her. So I thought I'd better go up and visit Mabel Henderson. When I got up to that floor, looking down the hallway, I saw her brother Mac in our fellowship. Mabel was not. She went to a certain denominational church. But I saw Mac. When he saw me, he beckoned. And so I rushed right down to the room. He said, I think my sister's dying. He said, Eddie, talk to her, please. I want to know that she's saved. And so Mac and I leaned over the bed, and here I was looking at another person whose time I knew was very short. And I said, Mabel, I had visited with her before, but not that day. I said, Mabel, are you saved? Are you saved? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Her lips moved. I looked at Mac. I said, Mac, what did she say? I don't know. Mabel, did you hear what Eddie said? And so we were struggling and trying to understand what she was attempting to say. And she got out that she was a member of the church. I said, Mabel, we're not talking about church membership. We're talking about receiving a person. I said, when you received your husband, you became married. When you received your husband, you became a wife. When you received your husband, you became one with him. Now, that's what we're talking. Have you received Christ? Are you a Christian? Have you received the Savior? Are you saved? Her lips moved. I said, Mac, what did she say? I don't know. Mabel, and we struggled. And finally, her lips moved, and I said, Mabel, just nod your head. Have you trusted Christ as Savior? If you haven't done it before now, do it now. Have you done it? And her head moved just slightly. And we came up in the hall. I said, Mac, we're going to have to leave it right there. We're going to have to leave it right there. The next morning, before 7 o'clock, I received two calls. One telling me that Mr. Brown died during the night. The other telling me Mabel Henderson died during the night. I thought, as I came away from that second call, I thought now, from my observation, I could be wrong. God knows. But I thought, now quite possibly I have seen, and maybe I was the last one to speak to two people who, as far as I was able to determine, went in two different directions into eternity. I repeat, God knows. How are you going to die, friend? When you leave this life, where are you going to go? Are you saved? Or would you have to say, no, I haven't received Christ as my Savior. And if I were to die in this condition, I will go to hell. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was on that middle tree, Zulah, to accomplish eternal redemption so that we could have everlasting life. Why was he there? Because men hating him gave to him that place. But why was he there? He came from heaven to take that place. Love for us brought him from heaven to that place. Why was he there? Because God put him there. It's true, men put him there. And they're guilty. But in the plan and purpose of God, it was God's will for Jesus Christ to go to that tree that God might make him sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And this was no surprise to the Lord Jesus. He knew he was going to that place. This is the reason he came. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. John 12:32. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men, that is, all of mankind, to me. And that doesn't mean I will draw all without exception. He desires to see people saved, everyone. He's not willing that any should perish. But I believe it means I will draw all without distinction. Whosoever will may come. And the Apostle Paul said, we preach Christ crucified. 1 Corinthians 1:23. We preach Christ crucified. What other truth awakens men and women to a life of surrender and devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ like the preaching of the cross? It is true we proclaim his virgin birth, necessary though that is, but it's not the virgin birth of Christ that saves us. We proclaim his virtuous life. He was sinless. But it's not his virtuous life that saves us. It is his vicarious death. Going to that tree and being made sin for us. It is the preaching of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ that draws people to himself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is crucified with two thieves who had cast away in folly's court and carnal pleasure's market the wealth that God gave them at the start in the opportunities of life. And Jesus in the midst. Two thieves who by evil doing had set with their own wicked hands the crown of infamy upon their own brows. Jesus in the midst. A spotless and innocent lamb between two snarling wolves. Two thieves. The air hideous with coarse mockeries. And we read in Matthew's gospel that both the thieves at the first cast the same insults at Jesus. Both thieves, along with others there, were mocking him and taunting him. And Jesus in the midst, God's nightingale, with voice of love between two puff adders, with venom in their voices. Two thieves, any beautiful dreams they had ever had now molded in the muck and mud and mess of their transgressions, standing at the borderline of eternity, reviling him of whom the angels of God worship and adore. And Jesus in the midst, the rose of Sharon between two cactus plants. Two thieves, all their years eaten by the locusts of evil, the yawning pits of black despair before them. And Jesus in the midst, a dove between two hissing serpents. But then something happened. Something happened. The one malefactor which was hanged with Jesus railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us, if thou be the Christ. Talmage says of this, and I quote, if thou be the Son of God, was there any if about it? Tell me, thou star, that in robe of light did run to point out his birthplace. Tell me, thou sea, that didst put thy hand over thy lip when he bade thee be still. Tell me, thou sun in mid-heaven, who for him didst pull down over thy face the veil of darkness. Tell me, ye lepers who were cleansed, ye dead who were raised, is he the Son of God? Yes. Yes, responds the universe. The flowers breathe it. The stars chime it. The redeemed celebrate it. The angels rise on their thrones to announce it. And yet, says Talmage, on that miserable malefactor's if, how many shall be wrecked for all eternity? That little if has enough venom in its sting to cause the death of a soul. No if about it, he says. I know it. I feel it thoroughly through every muscle of the body and through every faculty of my mind and through every energy of my soul. Living, I will preach it. Dying, I will pillow my head upon its consolations. Jesus is God. So here we have three crosses, three trees, two malefactors and the Messiah, two transgressors and the transformer, two sinners and the Savior, two who were hanging there because of their disobedience, and the one on the middle cross hanging there because he was obedient unto death. But I said something happened. Somehow during those wild and wicked scenes, one of the thieves turned. He turned late in life, but thank God he turned. Now what happened to him? He was reviling the Lord Jesus at the first, but what happened to him to cause him to turn? Was he remembering what he had learned from the Old Testament scriptures in synagogue school? Was he thinking about certain scriptures about the Messiah and was made to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed the Messiah who's going to come into his kingdom, even though he's now dying upon the tree? He was made to realize that in all of his robbing, he had robbed God of his time, his talent, and of his service. And now robbing God by not acknowledging his Son. So gazing upon the face of Jesus, through the thickening gloom, he calls unto the Lord, somewhat as a wounded animal would cry out, caught in the jaws of a steel trap. And so he calls to the Lord Jesus. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That man became repentant. Now what is repentance? This one thief said to the other thief, dost thou not fear God? And the Bible tells us the fear, that is the reverential fear of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. And so this one thief became repentant. But what is repentance? It is the judgment of self, confessing to God, I'm wrong. It is the abandonment of self-righteousness. This man was about to die. And he knew he was unsaved. Repentance is taking God's side against yourself. It is the realization that you are wrong, that you are lost and headed to eternal judgment. It is the change of mind that results in a change of action. Of course, this man was nailed to a tree. What could he do so far as a changed life was concerned? Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now we know this. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10. Is it verse 9? That if thou... And say it with me if you know it, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Did this man do that? Now think about what he said. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Now here he's speaking to the one on the middle cross who was dying or about to die as he was about to die. And yet something went through that man's mind. It had to be Old Testament scripture because Paul tells us that faith, in that same chapter, by the way, Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So this one thief, no doubt, was thinking of what he had been taught and what he had heard in reading from the Old Testament scriptures, and he was made to realize that this one on the middle cross is the Messiah. And though he's dying, he's going to be raised from the dead because he's going to come into his kingdom. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, you're going to be with me today. And so there were three crosses and three who died on those crosses that day. Three trees and three types of fruit born on those trees. One died for sin, Jesus. One died in sin, the impenitent. One died to sin. That was the penitent thief. One died in love, Jesus. One died in despair, the impenitent. One died in faith, the penitent thief. One died the benefactor. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One died a blasphemer, the impenitent. One died a believer, the penitent. Three trees planted together that day, and all three bore fruit. One tree yielded blood. Actually, they all did, but one yielded blood that was recognized by heaven. That of the Savior. One tree yielded briars, that of the impenitent. One tree yielded blossoms, that of the penitent. One was the tree of redemption, the Savior's tree. One was the tree of rejection, the impenitent's tree. And one was the tree of reception, the penitent's tree. Listen, dear friend, when you leave this life, you'll leave either saved or lost. How will it be? How will it be for you? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? And you know, if God told you to pay some amount or do some great thing, possibly you would attempt to do so. But the price has been paid, and God wants you to enter into the good of it by receiving, by faith, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Salvation is free, not because it's cheap, but because it's paid for. Jesus paid it all at Calvary. How are you going to die? Dear friend, we trust that you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior tonight. We stand ready to be of any help to you that we possibly can. If you would like to speak with me, anyone else here, do so. Settle this matter about your soul being saved. Let's turn in our song book to number 222. 222. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. 'Twas love beyond compare. Let's sing the first and last stanzas of number 222. Then we'll have our brother Allison Pender to dismiss us in a word of prayer. Shall we stand as we sing 222, the first and last stanza?